Scripture this morning comes to us from 1 John 4, verses 7 through 9. Let's read it together. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. May the Lord bless his word this morning. A young man sent a love letter to his fiancée. And he said, "Dear darling, I'll climb the highest mountains, sail the wildest oceans, cross the hottest deserts just to see you and be with you. P.S. I'll be over Saturday if it doesn't rain." We laugh at this young man's demonstration of love and feel bad for the young girl, too, who, like many of us, longs for love. Love in action, not just empty promises. There's a high priority given to love all throughout the scriptures. It has been noted that the word love appears in the Bible over 500 times. And as we read this morning, God is love. Love is the essence of the character of God. It is God's supreme attribute. When we mention the attributes of God, we're referring to his qualities, not his deeds or actions, but who he is. And God is love. His love is unselfish. He expressed his love by giving the most precious gift he had, his son, Jesus Christ. So that whosoever, you and I are whosoever's, believe in him, invite him into their hearts, will not die, but have abundant and eternal life here and now. Amazing love. While the person is sinning, committing adultery, lying, being really ugly, the love of God continues to welcome and to woo that person. That's what John Wesley would call prevenient grace. Until that person accepts his love. And this is the mystery and the miracle of divine love. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness." And unfortunately, the English language only have one word for love. And you and I use it all the time. I love ice cream. I love my dog. I love my wife. And many times it's almost like the same love for the wife or the spouse and the dog. I love my teddy bear. But all those kinds of love are very different, aren't they? Now, in the Koine Greek, the language in which the New Testament was written, there are many words for love. There's eros, and we get the word erotic, and that is sexual love. There is philia, and we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that is brotherly love. Then there's agape. And that's the love of God for us and the love that we're called to have for one another. It is unconditional, never-changing love. It is the kind of love that Galatians 5:22 mentions. It is not me-centered, but others-centered. It is boundless. Agape love sent his only son to die for you and I. Agape love emptied himself. Philippians talks about that. Left his divine throne and came to be born in a manger. Even though he owns the whole world, he could have been born at a palace. He came in the fullness of time and was birthed at a manger because he loves us so. And many people through the ages have asked the same question that the Apostle John asked in 1 John 3:1. What manner of love is this? My friends, it is divine love. The kind that you and I many times cannot comprehend. Because perhaps the only kind of love that you and I have experienced, even from our family of origin, is conditional love. I love you if you really change your attitude. Or I love you if you lose some weight. I love you if, I love you but. However, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, I love you, period. Come unto me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, all those dysfunctional people, and that includes all of us. And I will give you rest. God wants us to experience the abundance of his redemptive love. He wants us to enjoy it here and now. Ephesians 3:18, the Apostle Paul lists the dimension of his love and the breadth and the length and the depth as to signify the exceeding, the greatness, the richness of the love of God for us. This kind of love reaches the lowest valleys as well as the highest mountains. This love can only be known and experienced by those who live in love. It always amazes me how people can be sitting in the same old pew for 50 and 60 years. Some of the pews even have a plaque with their names and their family names. Some of the cushions of the chairs and the pew have their imprints. Yet they don't know love. And have never been truly loved. They haven't felt it. But they come to church every Sunday. As a pastor, that is the saddest thing I could ever experience. May God have mercy on us. If there is one characteristic that Christians should be known for, is love. Verse 8, that same chapter says, dear friends, let us love one another. Whoever does not love does not know God. I hear people say, well, I've been in this church long enough, I've earned the right to say whatever I want, whenever I want. Wrong. That's a sin. Destructive language crushes people's spirits and heart. Here at the church, at Publix, Target, or even in the midst of our own families. The Bible calls us to speak the truth in love. The Bible is very practical. I know we want to make it very complicated. But the Bible in Matthew 18:18 even gives us the principle how to deal with one another. Because there's going to be people that we don't like, right? There's going to be people that are going to irritate us, right? Or am I the only one that goes through that? I could preach on then? Yeah. There's going to be people that we're going to have to pray and say, Lord, I can't love that person. Put your love in my heart so I will be able to love that person. And Matthew 18:18 tells us that if we have any problem with anybody, to go to that person. We don't go behind their backs. We don't talk bad about that individual. We don't destroy their character, do we? That's not the godly, loving thing to do. We go to the individual and we speak to that individual. And if the Bible says if the individual doesn't listen, then you call somebody else from the church or a member of the family to go with you. But the aim in all of this is to build each other up, to help other people grow. We all have issues in our lives, don't we? We all have areas of growth. The Bible in Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man or sister sharpens the other. Because the aim is to help each other grow. Bible says, whoever does not love does not know God. You know what I mean? Help us, Holy Spirit. It's time to grow up. It's time to have a mature love walk. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous, boastful, arrogant, rude. It does not insist in his or her own way. I invite you to read that chapter before the year is over. And that chapter ends with this verse. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, anybody knows the answer? You know it. And we're reminded in Psalm 39:11 that man, humanity, is but breath. James 4:14, we're like vapor, it says. It says here a little while, and then we vanish. In other words, my friends, life is really short, in case you haven't noticed. Why spend so much time in bitterness and hurting other people? Love is the best way. Forgiving. Depleting those negative thoughts. There's a country song about a man that goes to the doctor, and he's told that he's dying. And he goes and tells the bad news to his friends. And one of the friends asks him, now, what are you going to do about it? And I love his answer. I'm going to live like I am dying. I'm going to love deeper, sweeter. Give forgiveness that I have been denying. My friends, from the cradle to the grave, We all need love. A lady by the name of Anna B. Warner, she lived between 1824 and 1915, wrote the following words in 1860 and dedicated them to a dying child. 1860, she wrote these words. Been a long time. And we're still singing these words today. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. One of humanity's greatest needs, again, I want to remind you, is to be loved. And life's greatest gift is to love and to be loved in return. Proverbs 19:22 says, what a man desires is unfailing love. And God has made that unfailing love available to all of us through his son, Jesus Christ. Once we receive it and experience it, we can't help but to give it out. You see, coming to church and sitting in the same old pew doesn't make us a Christian. I know these words sound really hard, but it is the truth. It doesn't matter how much money we give or how much time we give. All that is religion. If Jesus Christ hasn't been birthed in us and our character has been changed, then there's something wrong with the picture. Paul Gilbert wrote these words. You're writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. People read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? May our personal gospel be the same that is taught in this book. May we be true to it. God is love. And he showed us love through Jesus Christ. And once we receive and experience that gift of love, we cannot help but to share it with others. We're commanded to do so. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people were asking him, which of these commandments should we keep? How many commandments were there in the Old Testament? A bunch? Anybody knows the number? 10. Somebody has been reading the Bible. And they were testing him. And he made all those commandments into one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and your neighbor as you love yourself. Last week, I was driving to a funeral, and I heard about a little boy. His name is Rylan Ward. 5 years old. He was at the church, the Baptist church, in Sutherland Spring, Texas, when that individual came in and shot 26 people. This little boy, Rylan, was shot 5 times. Has undergone, I think, about 5 surgeries or 6 surgeries already. He's still in the hospital. He lost his stepmom and 2 sisters that day. There he is. And his grandmother asked him, "Honey, what do you want for Christmas?" And this little boy said, "I just want Christmas cards. Because as I read them, time goes faster." So I pulled to the side and I call Michelle, the director of the Learning Center. And I said, "Can we help this little boy, Rylan, have a better Christmas?" And I explained to her the whole situation. She says, "We're on it." So can we show the pictures? The school wrote all kinds of Christmas cards. And we send them. So Rylan knows that he is loved and prayed for by a group of kids from East Naples United Methodist Church. And if you could write any cards and bring them to the office next week when it's open, I would gladly receive them and I will personally mail them myself. So that spirit of Christmas can continue on for a long time. And Rylan would have more cards to read. If you're wondering, how do we show love? How much does it cost? We just saw it. Let us pray. Father, forgive us for the bitterness that we have held in our hearts. Forgive us for the so many ways that we have refused to love others. Forgive us because at times we have exhibited such a mean spirit when you have given us an opportunity to offer love. I pray that today, before we walk out of these doors, we would surrender to you our hatred, anger, bitterness. And you will fill our hearts with love. How we need your love. Not just to love those who we like, but to love those who irritate us. Change our hearts, oh God. May your agape love be born in us today. May it be a reality in our lives. And we lift to you Rylan, his family, and the rest of the people that were involved in that horrible event. I pray for the pastor and his family. Fill their hearts with love, Lord, and comfort them as they grieve during this season. We pray for all the other churches all over the world. We pray for that Methodist church in the Middle East that was attacked last week. And so many people died there too. Be with them, Lord. Father, break our hearts for what? Break yours. Call us to a life of prayer, to a life of love. For you are love. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.